Hola, señor.
Hola, Ty. ¿Cómo estás?
You are fresh back from Cuba.
I did.
How'd that go, man?
Yeah, I'd mentioned going to Cuba months ago, or I don't know, it was a while back, right?
Yeah.
And you never want to put it out there like, yeah, I'll be out of the country, right? But it was a great trip. I had the flu the week before. We left last Wednesday, and I'm like, people are like, are you going? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going. God doesn't take sick days. There's no sick days. So I thankfully got better pretty quickly, after last weekend, and I was ready to roll, and we had a absolutely great time. I gave away a bunch of baseball cards that people donated from us talking about it on this show and on other stuff. It was great. I didn't get to film any of that because the pastors were very protective of the kids, which totally makes sense. Like, they didn't want us videotaping the kids, or videotaping. That sounds so old school. And I got that. What are you going to do? But they loved it.
That's amazing. Just to clarify, God doesn't take sick days. You weren't referring to yourself as God, just for people.
Correct. I should say God doesn't allow for sick days. That's probably the more accurate for us. Like, I could.
Which I also think is probably false. He does allow for sick days.
True. I was gonna go. Like, I
You
was
were
like,
gonna go. You weren't gonna let sickness stop you from doing what you felt called to do. And that's an amazing thing. Good stuff, man. Well, that's awesome. I'm sure on the Baseball Collector Channel you'll be talking more about it. Maybe you already have put out some videos, but
a video is coming out later today.
there you go.
I talk about that, and I show some videos of the stuff I could film while we were there, which isn't a lot. They were
Yeah.
very it, well, it's a different type of government. So
Yeah.
you just have to be careful. And yeah, we had a blast. Everybody did great on the trip, and now I'm home. And did you do anything? Like, would you missed me, I'm sure, while I was gone, but
Plays every night. I cried myself to sleep thinking about your safety. Will you come back? But no, we were pretty busy in our own right. We were actually in Toronto for 5 days. That was myself, my oldest son, Matt, and his youngest son. We were up there speaking at the Sports Card Expo on a couple panels and then filming in the Canadian world.
So Chasing Cardboard's gone international, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was cool, man. They invited us up to speak on behalf of Chasing Cardboard for a content creation panel. And then last minute, eBay backed out of a panel on Thursday. And so we spoke on the state of the hobby as well. So I got to sit up there with Jeremy Lee, Sports Card Live, Jeff Wilson, Sports Card Investor, Aaron from Slab Stocks, and then there was just countless other people that we met. I tell you what, man, it was really cool because you've experienced this at other shows, domestically, but it was cool going to Canada. And I kid you not, there had to be 50 to 60 people that came out throughout the couple days there at the show, just like, we love what you're doing. Can I ask you a couple questions? Tell me about this collection that you got, an episode, so and so. It was just really cool to be able to just connect with those people up in Canada that follow us and love what we're doing. And it was just neat validation, man. Really, really enjoyed the Sports Code Expo.
It is really cool when people do that.
Yeah.
I have two questions for you about the expo. Number one, did you carry the mantle of the prophets of doom? Did you speak the truth to these people?
What's the truth?
We're just in a challenging time. That's all.
So it's funny you say that. So there was a panel, it was the second panel, so content creation panel. It's Jeff Wilson, myself, Jeremy Lee, Aaron's moderating, and they do questions from the audience. And one of the questions from a guy is, "Hey, you guys all have differing opinions. I'd love for you just to cut right to the chase and tell us, is now the right time to buy sports cards?" Very direct. And so Mike, no one's kind of responding, and I'm like, I'll take the first stab at this. And I get the mic, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna be honest, I think anytime's the right time to buy what you love. I'm still buying Michael Porter Jr.'s. But if you're looking to buy for other reasons, like getting in at the best price, maybe flipping, I would wait 6 months. That's what my gut says because of economic conditions, blah, blah, blah. And then, it goes to Jeremy, then it goes to Jeff, and they're both very different. And in the sense that they are like, buy now, more or less, buy now. Be careful, but I think you should buy now. The hobby's strong, which I don't disagree with. But the irony in that was that it's being broadcast out to the floor, right? And the dealers are hearing this. And I'm sitting there, as I'm talking, I'm like, dealers probably got to be like, man, come on, Ty. Seriously, people at my booth buying, you're like, don't buy for 6 months.
The guy's about to hand over his, you know, $1,000 for, no, I'm going to change my mind.
Yeah. Man, that's but it's something you and I've talked about forever. So yeah, I guess Prophets of Doom has made its way into Canada.
My second question about the expo was, and just be honest, there were a lot of people that came up and said, man, where's Mike? Didn't they?
Yes. Yeah. That, I mean, let me think about this.
Three, one, two, maybe one.
At least two people.
At least two whole
people. At least two. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. If you two are watching, thank you very much for the support.
Yeah. One was my son.
Oh, great.
And one was Matt's son. No, of course, people missed you there too. So maybe next time we go to the expo, you'll have to come along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a good excuse. I was in Cuba.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, it's so cool. We do such different things. Like, you're in Toronto, I'm in Cuba, and then but I don't know. It's cool. We get to do a lot of this. Cool. We're blessed to get to do a lot of cool stuff.
Speaking of that, we have an amazing episode coming out this week. You know, it's hard because on Chasing Cardboard, we see a collection and we're like, in the moment, we're like, this is the best we've seen. And then a month later, we go see a different collection, a different episode. And it's like, oh boy, that's the best we've seen. And people probably get tired of hearing that, but it's truly one of those things where it keeps building on itself. And we're seeing these collections and we're like, oh my, this one that you're going to see episode 13 this week is mind blowing. And a lot of the stuff is already for sale. I mean, you're going to see it filtering through our store for the next month, basically. What can you say about this collection? You being the vintage guy, what can you say about this?
I can say,
without giving too much away,
it was so comprehensive. You know what I mean? There was just sets from all kinds of years and everything, tops, and you know, it was amazing. I was thoroughly impressed. I'm excited we get to start. I mean, stuff as you're seeing right now is already on the Chasing Cardboard / Breaker Culture eBay page. Like, there's a greenback cob and a redback cob and a Philadelphia Caramel E95 cob, and it's like, good grief. Eddie Matthews rookie. I mean, look at all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
This is just barely scratching the surface of the stuff that will be flowing through here. So for those that are watching, I mean, go follow the store. You need to be a follower. And let us know if you end up buying or you're bidding and you're a Bench Clear watcher, a Chasing Cardboard watcher. We try to throw in extra stuff for those that are Chasing Cardboard fans. We have t-shirts hitting the store that we'll toss in. Sometimes we have plenty of sweet stickers we toss in. We make it fun for Chasing Cardboard watchers.
Yeah, we want to encourage you guys to check it out, especially if it's cards you've been looking for. Like, I love that. The problem with that collection, Ty, was there was too much that I wanted. Right?
Yes. You and me both.
Seeing card after card that I'm like, I'll take that. I'll take that. And I don't think we've told the story about how we deal with that. But
let's not tell it because it's going to be part of the episode.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Then watch it Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're spoiling it a little bit because you're going to see that we have a lot of this stuff, and you're going to see the intensity of the transaction and everything we were going through mentally at the time. But we walked away with some amazing stuff, and
it's a two-parter, right? For everybody to know,
to be determined.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't even told you. You haven't even seen the rough cut of this.
I have not. I like to be surprised like everybody else, honestly. Yeah. I like to just watch it and enjoy it. Even though I was there, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what Matt did with it, because Matt's such a genius, you know, in telling the story and editing it all together. So
yeah, stay tuned for that. Chasing Cardboard episode 13 comes out later this week. It'll be some good stuff to watch over the Thanksgiving week. Guaranteed.
I got another question for you. Let me revert back to the expo. You were on a content creator panel, right?
Yep.
Why is it, and you've noticed this too, I'm sure, and all of you out there have noticed this too, and this would be a great thing to comment on down below for us. Why is it that so much negativity in the hobby gets the most views? Is it the whole train wreck thing? I mean, I've always tried to understand this, and it always surprises me. I don't know why it keeps happening. Continually surprises me that we did a video. You put out a video here on Bench Clear last week. That's our second most watched video ever.
Right. In 2 years.
About your eBay experience, negative
PSA, eBay. My PSA experience.
I'm sorry, PSA experience, as yep. I'm wearing their hat. Why is that, Ty? Why does it work that way?
I think people unfortunately resonate when they want to get angry. They want to share in their anger. And so things like us having a bad experience with PSA, it piles on. People get really attracted to like sympathizing and complaining. Just easy for people to do that. And it's funny because you brought it up in the context of the content creators panel. And I would say Jeff Wilson and Aaron and even Jeremy, they all gave really good answers about just what it takes to be really good content creators, because they're all very good in their own right. I mean, Jeff Wilson has created an awareness to people that the capacity to create sports con content. I mean, you got 250,000 subscribers for his channel. It's there. There's an audience. But the takeaway was for all of them that you need to create stuff that inspires and moves and like generates like the good vibes. And those are four guys that don't focus on negativity at all. Right. So I think it's actually kind of annoying to me that we put out a PSA video where I'm just sharing my negative experience and it becomes our second. We'll probably end up being our most watched video of all time. It shouldn't be that way.
Of course it shouldn't. But when you are sitting around, how do I what?
Well, sorry, finish your thoughts. Sorry.
No. Just when you're sitting around and you're, you know, last week at the Dallas Card Show, Dave was here. We did a video together. We, you know, talked about the hobby and good times and hanging out with friends and all this stuff. And it gets a fraction of the views that if I would have said, I got a horrible experience at the Dallas Card Show, and that was the title. And it was it was actually what it was. It would get 10 times the views. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think on the flip side of that, Chasing Cardboard has showed us that you can put out positive content and it can do well. You just have to be very creative in the way you do it. Maybe there's something to just the negative side of things. It's people don't know what to expect with it, so they watch it. Whereas like the good old times and stuff that gets old to people. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Sports Card Radio, you know, they put out a lot of, you know, this bad thing happened in the hobby XYZ. Right. And they get tons of views on that stuff, or they're ragging on somebody or whatever, you know, people like the negative, like you said, they gravitate towards that because they can, I think you're right. The rally behind it. I've had negative experiences. Yay. You know, everybody's this sucks, that sucks. Pick your, you know, whatever thing somebody's ranting about. I really don't like that in the hobby.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like people enjoy watching failure and watching you burn, if you will, versus like sharing in your success. Because when people are failing, it makes them feel better about themselves.
And if you're succeeding, they're jealous.
Yeah.
Or envious or whatever. Yeah.
Hmm. Be curious to know what you watchers, you viewers think. Why does negativity thrive so much? And it's not just a hobby. It's any video for that matter. Like it all negativity sells.
100%. It just does. Watch the news for 10 minutes and you'll understand. Oh man. Just what do we want to rattle the sabers about today? You know?
Yeah.
And, And this show is meant to be really hobby news, and not all of it's positive. I mean, we, if we're honest, we try to show both sides of the hobby.
Yeah.
There are negative things about this hobby that kind of irritate people. I did a freaking contest where I had people give me their hobby pet peeves, you know, like here, vent, go, you know?
Yeah.
Just tell me what you, because we all have our little things, our little nuances or whatever that we just, this really bugs me. And so, but that shouldn't be the focus, I guess, is where I wish we would be as a, and I don't think it is. Honestly, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But it's just a testament and maybe speaking to who we are as human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Well, for those that are curious about what happens with PSA, watch later this week. I'll have an update for you. it's the saga continues. I'll just say that.
I know what's going on. Let me tell you, you can't write this. You couldn't have made this up. Like,
you really could not.
No one would believe you. Like, yeah. If you told them this was the real, what was happening in your life. Yep. This is really happening. So
yeah.
What else is going on?
Well, you probably missed a lot of this, but middle of last week, the whole serial number thing on boxes popped up. So it was, I forget the breaker, but basically someone had said, hey, you know, I want to buy this box. Can you show me the serial number on this, the sticker? And the breaker's like, and he's like, I don't know. I want to take a closer. He didn't even say, hey, show me the serial number. It's like, hey, can I look closer at the shoe of this box? Breaker's like, sure. Can you show me the other one? And he finally picks the box that he wants of Crown Royal basketball. He picks that box and he opens it up and there's the kaboom in there. And everyone's like, wait, what? I don't think people would immediately put two and two together. Well, it kind of floated through the hobby. Like, wait a second here. He could tell the kaboom was in that box because of the serial number. Well, Sports Car Radio got a hold of it. And then other people got a hold of it. And then people figured out the formula. And sure enough, there are serial numbers that dictate what is in those boxes. And it's not just Crown Royale. It's other products. People are figuring out really quickly. And some other breakers have identified other products where serial numbers show which boxes are loaded.
Seriously.
So it's been blowing up throughout the hobby the last few days. This is obviously the first time you've heard of it.
Yeah. It's
crazy. What are your thoughts on that? Like, you hear that and what's your immediate reaction to it?
It's weird. I'm on both sides. I'm like, brilliant to the person who figured it out. Like, good for them, you know. I think it's, if you can be the guy to solve that riddle or solve that puzzle, if there is a pattern, good on you. Obviously the people who make cards, right? The manufacturers just need to do a better job of making it more random. Like, Is it only in Panini products or is it Topps products too? Or is it,
this was only Panini. But I mean, I think the issue at hand here is like, this is, this no doubt has been going on for a long time and it's just now catching some wind. So I think like the guy that finds it out doesn't find it out from breaking tons of cases of this stuff. It's, hey, someone from Panini passed me the information of what to look for in the serial number. That's I think the bigger concern, right? Because it's, to figure that the riddle out, you're going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
But I mean, is that concerning to you? Thinking like, are certain boxes being passed to certain breakers, if it's that easy to tell, then it's very easy for potentially Panini or a distributor to give them into the hands of certain people.
Totally. Here we are talking that, see, we're talking negative stuff, but yeah, that's pretty sketch. That makes me think twice about things. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. You as if you needed more fuel in the fire to not ever buy wax, right? You're not a wax buyer anyway.
Thank goodness. I better go check all my boxes over here and see what serial numbers I got and see if I can. Is it retail only, hobby only, both? Doesn't matter. That'd be really, wow.
Yeah.
So your theory, let me just try to summarize your hypothesis. The code has been cracked for a long time, in your opinion. That information most likely came from a source inside Panini. We don't know that. I'm framing Ty's speculative theory here. And now, if they're going, okay, we're going to send these boxes to these breakers because we know they're popular and we know they're going to get a lot of traction. Let's look for the right, whoever knows this information at the source might feed them boxes that are nicer potentially to drum up, you know, excitement around a product.
Yeah.
And, oh man, look at, these are all loaded, you know? Well, yeah, because they sent you the loaded boxes with the right serial numbers, right? I mean, it's so easy to go, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy theory. It's interesting.
Yeah, and if you kind of just think through how it could work, and again, we're just speculating, right? I mean, I think it's a very easy assessment to say this has probably been going on forever, right? Serial numbers are on products. They have been for a long time. And the serial numbers are dictating what's inside there, but it's very easy for someone to under the table pay somebody at Panini or a distributor and say, "Hey, I work at Backyard Breaks, and I need you to, I'm going to give you $10,000, and you're going to feed us for the next year these boxes." Now we know it's very easy to identify good boxes, so for them to get them would not be that difficult if you have an inside connection. I think that's what's like, well, of course, certain breakers would be getting more. Those guys like that don't care about being shady, right? They do what they got to do. That's how they roll. So I don't know, man. It makes you think twice about just buying product.
So what's the lesson, the takeaway for people out there listening to this?
Just remember that a lot of this game is rigged.
Yeah.
Buy singles.
You know, it's funny, if you buy singles is definitely the right answer. I guess if you ordered a box, you know, straight off the website, let's say, right? And you get it, you know, the serial number code cracking thing. You look at it, you go, oh, that's going back on eBay. I'm just going to resell it. I'll order 10 and I'll keep this one and sell the other 9 that have crappy serial numbers or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. It gives more credence to buying sealed cases versus buying loose boxes.
Right.
Maybe it's a takeaway there. Yeah, you're right though. On eBay now it's like even more so, you worry about them being cherry picked and not getting hobby specifically, right? With the big time hits. Retail. Sure. There's no evidence that anything's happening in retail, but
interesting.
Yeah.
Can we end on a positive note somehow?
Next Tuesday, we're going to be live on Loop doing our first live auction of a lot of vintage cards. So Bench Clear community, I'll put the link in the show notes for you to follow us on Loop. You're going to be able to get some insanely good deals on vintage live auctions. You have a minute to bid and get Hall of Famers out the wazoo. If you sign up through our link in the show notes, you'll get $30 free. So you can spend it with us if you'd like.
Can I be there?
Yeah, of course you're going to be there.
What time is all that happening?
7 p.m.
Eastern?
Pacific.
So 10 Eastern. That's late. 10 Eastern.
9 Central. Central 7 8 Mountain. Yep.
Is that how that works? That whole
time? we're very smart.
We could do math. We can add and subtract. It's pretty great.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Loop finally rolled out their auction format. They've been working on it for a long time. Chasing Cardboard, we have a partnership that we built with them. So a lot of the Chasing Cardboard stuff and then some other neat things. We'll do some, you know, packs and everything else. We'll toss in stickers for orders. We'll make it fun. It'll be an hour or a couple hours of just sweet stuff you can get for good prices.
So that's a week from today.
Week from today. Yep. 22nd.
Nice. Right before Thanksgiving, you can start What do you think about, I mean, we do have Black Friday coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's going to be more deals on the major distributors and other stuff for sealed boxes? And
yeah, I would say if you're looking at buying sealed stuff, I would wait until Black Friday. I bet there's going to be some unbelievable deals on stuff this
year. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Crazy Tuesday. I mean, they're now going to have, you know, I'm already starting to get emails on different hobby stuff, kind of like deals of the day for the next couple of weeks. And, which is good. I have like supplies and stuff. I like to, that's stuff that's hard to find on sale, 'cause they don't have to put it on sale. They sell it whether you, but there are some times that you can get some stuff cheaper, and I'm looking to kind of add to my supply stash. So it's a good time to be looking and paying attention.
Yeah. Is there anything specific that you're looking for?
I need some more binders. I'm starting to put more binders in sets, dude. I am really enjoying that.
Cool.
And since I bought so many cards off of Glenn's collection that we showed in episode 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought a lot of partial sets, and so I'm enjoying putting those in binders. Yeah. And I literally just get on the floor. I have this beautiful desk right here, and I get on the floor and like I'm a kid, and put the cards in order and put them in the binder, in the pages and the binder. And I'm having a blast doing that. Oh, the simplicity of this hobby sometimes.
Yeah. I can already see a little spinoff episode on the floor with Mike and Ty. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it, but we'll set up a camera while you're laying on the floor.
So like I have little stacks of cards. These are all 57s, 56s. You know, but I haven't, I still get to do those. So I'm crazy. It's fun. On the floor. Well, I almost said something really bad. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So you have got a PSA follow-up later this week.
I do. I also have an interview with Nolan Elite Co. tonight. It'll be out later this week as well. Finally got that scheduled. He's been a busy man. So speaking of grading, it'll be fun to talk to him about the state of the hobby. So watch for that later this week.
His reveals are a must watch for me.
100%. Yep.
I'm like, yep, I want to see what he's grading, what kind of grades he's getting. I think he has as good of an eye as anyone. And so, you know, if he thinks it's a, he's honest, you know, hey, I think this is a 10. And if it's not, I'm cracking it. I'm submitting it to the other, you know, if he does an SGC reveal, he's flip flopping. Do we want to answer at all some of the comments we get on the Chasing Cardboard episodes? Or do we want to save that for its own special episode?
Let's save that. Let's save that. 'Cause we do have you and I have realized we could probably spend a couple hours just answering some of the comments and the feedback that we get.
Yeah. Let us know if you'd like to see that, like a Chasing Cardboard behind the scenes. I think we've asked him already, but that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, I've got some ideas for Golden Age of Cardboard. I got to kind of get back on the horse. I don't know if you watched last week's, was on kind of a Veterans Day tribute.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. The guy, Mike, that was my guest, he just knowed so much about it. And that was, I just listened. I think there was a 30-minute period. I didn't say a word. Like I just sat there and listened to him talk about the history of that. It was great. So hopefully we'll have Golden Age of Cardboard episode coming out later this week. And we're trying to put more stuff out. Hopefully you guys are enjoying Hobby Hotlines on Saturday, you know, the live show on Saturday with all kinds of different, Dr. Beckett was on last week and last Saturday. So thank you guys for all your support. We just passed 15,000 subscribers. So that's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Who would have thought, Ty?
Yep. Who would have thunk?
Two guys in the suburbs, you know, make it big.
I'm not in the suburbs.
You're not from the suburbs?
No.
Inner city, Kansas City? Where are you from?
No, not that either.
Okay.
Anyway, terrible ending. Have yourself an amazing week, Mike. Glad you're back.
I will. I'm glad I'm back too. Thank you. And again, thank you guys for your support for us, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See ya. Collecting.